Well, hello, Grace Point. Every March I get away to put together a teaching plan for the whole year, starting in our ministry year in September. And in March, I don't think I ever knew what COVID was, but felt led of the Lord to begin our ministry year in the book of James. And as happens every single year, all throughout the year, God just might know what he's doing. He just might be sovereign and have a plan. He is. Today we end our 11-week series in the book of James, calling today Touching Heaven, Changing Earth. Before we get into the last passage as we wrap up this great book, do you want to help us understand a little bit more about God, especially if you're new to Bible study? There are two types of wills that God has. The first type of will that God has is an unconditional will. Here's what an unconditional will means, is that God will do what he wants to do no matter what anyone else does. That is the unconditional will of God, that God is going to do what he's going to do. God is God, and guess what? And you and I are not. I love in Galatians chapter 4, where it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son to earth to be born of a woman. When the time that was set came to be, Jesus came. That's the unconditional will of God. Nothing was going to change that timeline. And a sobering thought, the Bible talks about how God has numbered our days before we were even born. Meaning God has a counter of how many days every single one of us has, and all of us have a different number. But God has ordained that. That's part of the unconditional will of God. And we don't know how long we're going to live on this earth, but God does. God says that he puts leaders in and takes leaders out. And governments in and governments out. God is going to do what he's going to do. And when God is ready for Jesus to come back to this earth and then set up his millennial reign, and then after that, eternity called heaven, God has assigned that day, and nothing will change that date, because that's the unconditional will of God. God is going to do what he wants to do. The other part of the will of God is the conditional will of God, which means this. The conditional will of God is this. God waits for human involvement or cooperation with his desires and designs. God wants to answer. God wants to give. God wants to provide. But he's waiting for a human reaction or cooperation or response. God's will is that for all mankind to be saved, but he is waiting for those who trust in Jesus, and when they trust in Jesus, they step toward in faith toward Jesus, God reaches out to them and forgives them and calls them their child forever and ever. God is waiting, we see all through Scripture, God is waiting to bless people, but it's conditioned on the human reaction and the human response. As God is going to draw near to people, they got to draw near to him. There's all sorts of examples in Scripture that God is like, I'm waiting to bless you, but I'm waiting for you, God says. I'm waiting for you. I came across a great phrase by Dr. Tony Evans that says this, the primary means that God has established to determine what he does on earth and in our lives is conditioned by the absence of or presence of prayer. The primary means that God has established to determine what he does on earth and in our lives is conditioned by the absence of prayer or by the presence of prayer. James even wrote about it in chapter 4. You have not because you ask not. And if you ask and you do not receive, it's because you were asking with the wrong motives. And it's all about, okay, God is waiting to do something. And he's often waiting on us to cooperate with what he wants to do. In my house, we have a safe, and one of the primary reasons for our safe is our passports are in there. If you have a passport, what is a passport? Passport is permission to enter a certain country. Prayer is permission to enter the presence of God. And we have access to it. But do we? It's amazing how many people say that they're followers of Jesus rarely pray. And then we wonder, well, where's God? Oh, he's there. Maybe he's just waiting for us to join him. I remember a number of years ago, our daughter Holly really wanted to go on her first missions trip, and it was going to be abroad. It was going to be in Guadalupe, and so she went to the meeting. She got the information, and she was told she got to put together support letters, and so she wrote her letter. She asked us to read it. Then we got a bunch of friends and family, and she mailed out all the letters. I'm going to let her do the work. She went to the meeting, got the information, put the prayer letters out there, sent them out there. And then the first big date, you know, the marker date where you have to have $600 in was coming fast. And on a Sunday night, she comes to me, panicked, and said, "Dad, I sent out my letters. But Thursday, I have to have $600. I don't have any money." And she's panicking, like, "Dad, what?" She was almost saying, "Dad, what are you going to do?" And inside of me, I was like, I had to put my dad hat away and go, wait a second, this is about her faith journey. And I asked her a question. I said, "Okay, Holly, you sent the letters out, but have you been praying for God to supply your needs?" And she was like, "Oh." And I went, "You might want to start there." And she had this, like, the light bulb moment, like, "Yeah, yeah." And she began to pray. And she came home from practice on Thursday. And I'm the only one that checks the mail ever out of the mailbox down the street. But when my girls or my wife wants something, they check the mail. Well, Thursday after practice, she checked the mail. She comes in, "Dad, Dad, look at all these checks." And she counted up, and it was $600. And I said, "What's the post date on these letters?" And every single one of them were post dated on Monday after she started praying. See, all through Scripture, God, it's amazing, God invites us to pray. He asks us to pray. He even commands his followers to pray because he knows what prayer does. And he wants that communication coming, you know, from us, you know, knocking on heaven's door so that he will make some change here on earth. Change here on earth. Now, here's the mystery. Here's the challenge. As finite beings, we do not know when we pray if it's the unconditional will of God or the conditional will of God. But we pray anyways. And when I pray, I'm like, "Okay, God, I want your will to be done, but I don't know if it's, you're just going to do what you're going to do regardless of what I pray." But I'm kind of hoping it's on the conditional side that you're just waiting for me to pray. And you say, "Keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking." So God, I'm going to bug you until I hear from you. But we don't know. That's the challenge. That's the mystery. Let's turn to James chapter 5. Verse 13, we'll get there in just a moment. I'll have it on the TV here if you don't have your Bible. But here's the central point today. It's this, is that prayer is our part of touching heaven so God will change something here on earth. Prayer, it's our part of touching heaven so that God will change something here on earth. James is going to walk us through different ways or different reasons to pray. Now, just so that we're all on the same page, we have different people at different spots on the faith journey. I'm going to put the cookies on the lower shelf. Let me tell you what prayer is. People think it's all kinds of things, and it's not. Here's a simple definition of prayer. It's this. It's heartfelt communication with God. It's heartfelt communication with God. Jesus has been talking about, don't tell me something you memorized. that you just say over and over and over. It just, there's nothing there. He wants to hear from our heart. Prayer is heartfelt communication to God. People are like, I don't know how to pray. I'm like, yes, you do. You have passionate, heartfelt communication with human beings. It's the same thing, but we direct it to God. It's called prayer. But here is what prayer is not. Prayer is not getting God to do what he doesn't want to do. Prayer is not that. But prayer is asking God to do what he already wants to do. And guess, and we don't know if he wants it. He wants to do it. But he's our heavenly father, the best father any of us can even dream of. And he will is waiting for us to answer our prayers on some things. And on other things, he's a good father, a good father. He's a wise father. At times he'll say, no, because I love you, because I got something better, because I have a plan that you don't understand. But we don't know that. So we go to him in faith and ask God for help. Now, I've heard this phrase over the many years as a pastor, is that prayer doesn't work. Prayer doesn't work. You ever heard that? Here's what I say to that. That says more about the prayer than about prayer. Prayer doesn't work. That says more about the person praying than about prayer itself. So James, in classic James fashion, doesn't beat around the bush, doesn't set up anything, he just says it. Verse 13, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. What are you really saying, James? Anybody in trouble? That word trouble means suffering, hurting. And it's not talking about physical pain, but it's talking about pain, all right? You're in trouble, you need something. You're suffering, you have a lack of. He says, pray. It's as simple as when Jesus called Peter out from the boat. Hey, Jesus, can I walk on the water? Come out here. And he gets out. Everybody else stays in the boat. Never mock Peter for getting out of the boat. And he starts walking on the water. But then when he sees the wind and the waves, he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. And Peter had the best, quickest prayer. It wasn't, oh, God, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I bequeath thee to listen to me. No, it wasn't that kind of a prayer. It was like this. Help! That was the prayer. You have relational problems, you need help? Pray. You have financial problems, you're in pain? Pray. You have problems in your marriage? Pray. You have problems at work? Pray. If anybody's in trouble, anyone's suffering, everyone's had some type of pain, here's the thing. God often allows pain so that we will pray and call out to him. God, pain is always an invitation to pray. That's why God allows it. So then James says this, well, is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. There it is. Black and white. Things are going good? Give them praise. See the challenge in verse 13? You got trouble, pray. You got things are good, praise. Praise is never silent. We can worship silently, but praise, thanking God, appreciating God, adoring God, being grateful to God, it's never silent. Okay, to put it into a human relationship, say that you really appreciate your spouse, all right? Or you see your child and they're like, they did a great job in this area, and you think it. Did you praise them? No. You have to vocalize it. And here's the thing, you're in pain, pray. Things are good, praise. God is looking for communication from us regardless of our situation or circumstance. And I don't understand this. Why would God want to hear from us? But he does. You're in trouble? Pray. You're happy? Sing praise. That's why God has this, you know, passage in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. That means you're just in a constant communication, heartfelt communication with God all the time. Then he says this, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayers offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Now, this passage right here has really caused a lot of people to struggle, a lot of people to wear false guilt that, well, if I prayed and it didn't happen, that means obviously I don't have enough faith. That's not what it's saying. This is not a 100% guarantee. This is a principle. And the word sick there, we think, well, just physical. It's not necessarily all physical. Sick there is actually in the Greek means weak or weary. Weak or weary. Now, when they say call the elders to the church and pray and anoint with oil, there's nothing special in the oil. Most likely it was olive oil, which is all over the place in Israel. And as at times in our church, we have had people ask the elders to come and anoint them with oil and pray according to this passage. And we have done it. And we've surrounded them. We've put a little oil on their forehead. We gather around and we pray. And we cry out to God in faith that God would heal this person from this cancer, from this disease, and from that physical ailment. And not every time has our prayers been answered. Again, it goes to what's the unconditional will of God. But we're still going to ask. And there's been people in our church who they had the cancer and then they died. But last year, again, we don't know, but we can go to God. Our Heavenly Father, last year, Sean McCoy in our church, his body just started shutting down. They didn't know what was going on. And Jolie reached out to us, said he's at Harrison Hospital. Would you please come? I said, you want the elders to come? And Jolie, yes. I mean, you want anything. And the elders that were available, we all kind of met there at night. And we went into the room and we masked up and gloved up. And we went into the room. A couple of pastors' wives were there helping and praying and talking with Jolie. What us elders that went into the room did not realize, there was outside in the room, they were watching carefully, monitoring a bunch of vitals, and it was kept sinking and sinking, and it was going to reach a certain line. It was just about there, and they were going to come in, kick us out, and do what they needed to do. We didn't know that. Masked up, gloved up, went in there, put oil on his head. We surrounded, got on our knees, and just saying, God, touch his body. And when we started praying, the technician in the hallway went, whoa! Whoa, it started turning, started changing. Now, he still had a long road ahead of him, but that was a clear evidence that God was heard our prayers. And praise God that he didn't take Sean. So it could mean physical, and olive oil. I mean, olive oil still has medicinal help today. You just Google the medicinal benefits of olive oil and you're going to come up with reduced inflammation, it fights disease, it lifts moods, it lowers anxiety, and it stabilizes blood sugar levels. In the first century, bring oil meant here's some medicinal use. But it also could mean if you're weak and you're weary in your faith. You ever been there before? I have. I don't see God. Where is he? I pray, I hear nothing, and my faith is getting weak and I'm getting weary. And those are the times you need to lean into other people who their faith is strong at that point in time. That you kind of lean into their faith and you ask them to pray for you in faith, because you are struggling in your faith. You are weary in your walk and you're maybe ready to quit and walk away from God. And you kind of need to lean into somebody else's faith. I think of the story in Mark chapter 2 where this guy was paralyzed and his friends picked him up and they brought him to Jesus, climbed the roof somehow, and they got on top of the roof. Some of them started tearing the roof apart, and because the room was packed full, and they lowered his friend down to Jesus. Here's where Jesus said. He looked up at their friends and says, by your faith, he is healed. Take your mat and go. And he jumped up, no longer paralyzed. Because of your faith. Sometimes we need to come alongside other people there and just say, I'm struggling in my faith. Please pray for me. Now let's look a little carefully at prayer offered by faith. prayer offered by faith. It does take faith. Again, we don't know if is it the unconditional will of God or is it the conditional will of God. Is God going to just do what he's going to do because he's God? That's where I wrestled with my dad dying at 52. I'm 27. And my 20-year-old brother, the night I said goodbye to my dad, my young brother is mad at God, asking God, why our dad? Why? And I just remember, Bobby, I'm hurting just like you and I don't understand. But here's one thing I do know as I was going through the book of Job. God is God. He's going to do what he wants to do. And God chose to take my dad. But like last week's video, if you were there, it's either you're going to live or you're going to live. Either you're going to be healed or you're going to be healed, right? You're going to be with family or with family. God chose to heal my dad by taking him home. So it is offered by prayer. There's a story of a Texas town back in the 1800s. There's no rain. There's a drought. And the adults would gather in the courtyard and they prayed. Day after day, they'd go and gather in prayer, and pretty soon they just stopped praying. One day, a little boy went there by himself, and out loud, he started praying, asking God to bring rain, and it started to rain. What was the difference? The little boy brought an umbrella when he prayed. Some of you will get that about 2 o'clock today. All right. It's prayer by faith. And when I pray, when I don't understand what God's doing, I don't know what will he has, but I pray this, God, I want your will. But I believe you can do anything that you want to do. So I'm asking you to do it. But I surrender to the will of God. That's hard, especially if it's someone you love and they're going down. Then he changes it and says, therefore, based upon all this, he says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Anybody troubled? Pray. Anybody sick? Pray. Anybody struggling with sin? Pray. Actually, confess your sins one to another. Let me give you some free advice. This will not be billed to you at all. Only confess to a prayer. Because if someone's not a prayer, then you're going to confess and they're going to be a storyteller, not a prayer. So if they're not a prayer, don't be a confessor. Free of charge. Free of charge. So then James gives an example of someone who had prayer in his life. He says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Righteous. Not anybody. Not any person. Not any believer. Righteous is they're walking with God and they're living for God. God's way. That's righteous. If you know somebody who's walking with God, right, and living for God the way God wants, that's the person whose prayer is powerful and effective. He says, Elijah was a human being just as we are. He's just saying, okay, yes, he's a famous prophet, but he's a human being just like we are. He had his own issues with depression. I can totally relate to Elijah. But he was a human being just as we are, but he prayed earnestly, passionately, consistently, fervently. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. During those 3.5 years, God had him hide and run, and because his life, you know, had a warrant on his life, King Ahab wanted to kill him because of the drought. Then verse 18 says, again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. This is 1 Kings chapter 18. Mount Carmel, big confrontation with one prophet of God and hundreds of prophets of Baal. Who's really God? And they had a little contest up there. You can read it, 1 Kings chapter 18. You know, it was Baal, and they, you know, call out to Baal, bring fire down from heaven. And they pray, they dance, they cut themselves. Nothing happened. Elijah got on his knees, and he said, oh, God, please open up heavens and bring fire down. Boom, fire came down. And all the people watching were like, oh, I guess the Lord is God. Oh, well, really? And Elijah went up to King Ahab and said, I hear the sound of heavy rain. Might as well get down the hill. And then he called the servant boy over and he says, I want you to go up that, over that hill there and see out to the Mediterranean horizon and see if you see any clouds, because it's a cloudless day. Go see if there's any clouds coming. He says he got down, bent down on the ground, put his head between his knees, meaning he was just down on the ground, and he began to pray and pray, God bring rain, God bring rain, God bring rain. The boy came back. He says, you see any clouds? He says, no, there's nothing. Go back again. The boy went out. He dropped down and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. He came back. Is there anything? There's nothing. Go back again. Six times he went there and came back. There's nothing. There's no clouds on the horizon. The seventh time he said, go back again. He dropped down. He began to pray. God bring rain. God bring rain. He came back. He said, do you see anything? Well, I see the cloud of the size of a man's fist. And he said, it's coming. And a short time later, the rain came pouring down. Why was it effective and powerful? Because he was a righteous man who prayed in faith, prayed passionately. That's why. Elijah touched heaven that changed earth. That's what prayer does. We're touching heaven to change earth. Touching heaven. We don't have the power to change earth. God has the power, if it's his will. If it's his will. And then James closes up this passage and this book, which was actually a letter, with a very interesting ending. And maybe, just maybe, what James shares is part of his story. I don't know, but it could be. This is how he ends this section in this book. He says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. Jesus referred to himself as I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me. Got to go through Jesus. James, the half-brother of Jesus, grown up as his brother, and he saw the miracles, he heard the teaching, did not believe he was divine. He heard the truth, he saw the truth. But he wandered away from Jesus. But when Jesus rose from the grave 3 days later, James believed. Now, I hear all the time, and I believe in Scripture in the New Testament, where Jesus constantly got away and prayed. He got away and prayed. He went alone and prayed. Wouldn't it be just like Jesus to pray for his family, his brothers and sisters that did not believe he was the Son of God? Wouldn't have Jesus done that? I believe so. And when he came back, don't you think that James got a personal conversation? You know, Jesus had a personal conversation with James and said, you know, I've been praying for you. And James, maybe, I don't know. I got a whole list of questions when I get to heaven. James is talking about himself. I wandered from the truth and I almost lost everything. And if anybody who brings them back will save someone from death, right? And will cover a multitude of sins. So maybe someone's been near the truth, but then they won't believe it and they wandered away. Maybe this is talking about someone who is a believer. They have placed their faith in Jesus as the way, truth, and life. And then for whatever reason, they walked away from that saving faith. And he says, if someone would bring that person back, who's that person? A person who prays. A person who is righteous and prays. A person who is righteous and prays fervently. A person who is righteous who prays in faith. And they're like, I don't know, God, what is your will, but I'm going to ask you to go after my friend. I'm going to go ask you, God, turn the heart of my spouse. God, please turn the heart of my son or my daughter. Please, God, as a grandpa, would you please draw my grandchildren to you? That's the type of person, prays and prays and prays, and your heart is hurt and your heart is broken. You see them wandering. You see them getting into sin. You see the darkness. You feel the darkness, and you just keep praying and praying. I know some of your stories. And your heart is broken, your heart is crushed. I just want to challenge you, keep banging on heaven's door. and crying out to God, God, because God is the only one that can turn a heart. You can love them, you can even use scripture, but God is the only one that draws people to repentance. But I believe God uses people who pray passionately. Pray. Maybe you're the person that a mama's praying for. Maybe you're the grandchild that a grandparent is praying for. And you're here this morning, or you're watching online, and God is calling you like, you're trying to run from me, but you cannot get away from me and my love. Maybe today's your day to repent and wander back to the truth of who Jesus is. Are you hurting? You're in trouble? You need to pray that God, Lord, help. Be specific of what you need. You're sick physically, or your faith is weak, pray. Maybe ask others to pray with you and for you. You're in sin, pray. Invite others to pray with you. You're wandering from the truth, come back. Come to Jesus. Trust in him and him alone for your salvation. That he died on the cross, rose again for your sin. He is your Savior. And that conditional will of God is like, I'm waiting to save you. I'm waiting to forgive you. Just surrender. Church can't do that. Religion can't do that. A relationship with Jesus by faith is the only thing that will save. Or maybe you've walked away. And God is saying, come back home. Maybe that's James' story. Maybe it's your story. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for James and using James and saving James and inspiring him to write what you wanted him to say. And all through this book, thank you. Direct, bold, uncomfortable at times. And God, I just pray for those who need prayer, who have quit on prayer, who believe prayer doesn't work. Those, I also pray for those who are weary in their prayers. They keep praying and pleading and begging for you to turn someone they love back in your direction. God, I pray that you would move in powerful ways, because men, women, teenagers of God are choosing to call out to your name and asking you for help. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, above all names. We pray, Jesus, in your name, with these things we say, so be it. Amen. We have discussion questions on the screen. If you're in the room right now, if this is your first time being here, a visitor, we'd love for you to go to guest services. Go to the I'm New sign. We have a gift we'd love to give you, an early Christmas gift, and it's a nice gift. May God bless you. Hope to see you next week here at Grace Point.